Blog Talk Radio.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Welcome to the Hard Rock and Sports Studios and another edition of the Weekly Video Recap.
Again, everybody, you know, this thing is really getting kind of serious now. I haven't been able to locate Vanna White, and I was supposed to. Hi, Andre.
Don't
hey,
worry,
my good buddy.
Vanna, you get me. You get the Giant, the only professional wrestler who's still undefeated. And Hulk Hogan, I'm proud to be it, because now Ted DiBiase is on his way up. That's what you paid me for, to keep you out of the tournament, Hogan. And you are. And I know one thing, and that's what the people go to know too, and that's what they're going to remember. You are the ex-champion, Hogan.
Well, there you have it. I still haven't found
Vanna
White.
The ex-champion. Don't worry about Vanna White. Now, Hulk Hogan, Ultramania is over.
Hey, how about getting your... How about getting your foot off my shoulder?
Does not hurt, okay? Hey!
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell. Final
pass. But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
There I am, and that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show Live. From Higher Top Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. Welcome to our three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday night here at Hard Rock and Sports Studios. Thank you for joining us. And I got to tell you, it's been a beautiful week. I hope you guys have had a good one. I hope your Easter was nice. Passover, Good Friday, all that stuff that happened last week, I hope it was great. And I hope you're excited for some great sports and music talk tonight. We got a great big show. But let's talk about next week. We got our NFL draft preview show. Matt Salitri, Frank Jeffrey joining us. So make sure you guys tune in next Thursday night when we kind of rip apart. It is hysterical, Matt. It is. I love that one. Especially when he chokes Euchre at the end. Euchre's fakes is classic. I watched that 15 times today. Anyway, next Thursday, Matt Salitri and my good friend Frank Jeffrey will join Jeff and I. We'll do a big draft preview show. Of course, the week after, we're going to be doing the NFL, it's 2 weeks from now, the NFL draft show will be the 29th on the NFL draft. Jeff and I will be live. Maybe Matt and Frank will jump in and out with different picks. And then maybe the night after the show, the draft, or sometime during that weekend, we'll get together and break down the first round of the draft, maybe the draft to that point. So Hard Rock and Sports got a busy April. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk, first off, we got a great interview tonight with a really cool band. I opened up the show with Bucknut. That's the song from a band called So High out of Ohio. Great band. I fell in love with the sound. little bit, you know, I don't know if anybody knows who Granny Four Barrel is. Sounds a little Granny Four Barrel, Freak Flag. Check out Freak Flag from Granny Four Barrel. And it, kind of that and Blackstone Cherry. Kind of those two bands in my brain. That's what it sounds like. I'm sure that's not no influence at all on this band. They got a great sound, and I'm looking forward to having I believe everybody's going to be on the call tonight. So I'm looking forward to the band So High popping up for a few minutes. In fact, the guy who opened that is must have Mr. Buster Douglas, who had been dying to get on this show. Haven't been able to. But anyway, we got So High. We'll talk a little bit about the Mets, Yankees. We'll talk football, NFL draft stuff. We got Sam Darnold being trading. I want to talk a little bit. What if there was a concert, all three of the original Iron Maiden singers on the show? We'll talk about that. Deshaun Watson, I think, is done for the year. Again, Sam Darnold gets traded. Fernando Tatis is hurt and playing miserably. We're going to try to review the movie Draft Day if Jeff watched it. We'll talk about MLB moving the All-Star game. What a joke that is. But I got to be honest with you. I understand Rob Manfred's moving of it, but I think it's still a joke. We'll talk about Tom Brady still taking shots at Bill Belichick. New bands, new music. Old bands, new music, I should say. Is it okay for athletes and musicians to spout their political and social justice ideas and thoughts? Okay, we'll talk about that. NCAA. Basketball, same old Mets, Jets, Yankees, Deshaun Watson, Phil Anselmo. You get it all here at the Hard Rocket Sports Show every Thursday night when we get together, Jeff and myself. I'm waiting for Jeff to pop on. Listen, guys, there's so much happening out there in sports and music. It's crazy. I started to see concerts heating up, so that's a good sign. Obviously, baseball, 40-something thousand at a Texas Rangers game. I think it's amazing. It's great. I'm looking forward for the expansion. Maybe Dr. Fauci will come down off the mountain and let us all have a summer. Maybe Dr. Fauci, that genius he is, I hope he gets COVID. I hope he gets COVID. But let that genius come down and come off the mountaintop and tell us how to live our life some more. That clueless, I'd like to curse, but I'm not going to. But anyway, I hope you guys are taking care of yourself. If you feel like getting vaccinated, do it. If you don't, that's fine, too. Let's get back to some normal life. We got a lot of sports going on. You know, in New York, I got to tell you, you got the Knicks, the Nets. The Knicks are playing great basketball. But this before I get too far, this Knicks and Charles Oakley thing. First of all, I heard this today, that they're trying to make a peace offering by the Knicks and Oakley being at it for a few years. Now, Charles Oakley was a good basketball player. He was not a great Knick. He was a good basketball player. Solid, tough. You know, an integral part of a couple of Nick, I won't say it's obviously not championship teams, but really, really good teams. And I like the way Charles Oakley played the game. But to retire Charles Oakley's number to kind of appease him, and to his credit, he refused it. But now they're talking about some of those 90 guys like Latrell Sprewell and Allen Houston. No, they were good players. They're not. Don't retire. You know, the Immortals, the Bushes, the Bradleys, the Reeds, the Monroe. Even Monroe's a little suspect. You know, great player. Don't get me wrong, but he's not really a full-time Nick. But okay, I can live with it. Frazier. You know, those guys won championships. Most of them too. But you're gonna start telling me you want to retire Charles Oakley's number, Latrell Sprewell. Are we going to really retire Latrell Sprewell's number? Are we that desperate? Bernard King, yes. Bernard King's number should be retired. He was a great Nick for a short period of time, but Bernard King was a great Nick. I could see it. You don't want to do it, don't do it. Patrick Ewing's up there already. He deserves it. Otherwise, in the last 30, 40 years, there's not a Nick out there that deserves to have his number retired. So please don't do it. I know it's so easy. I know the Yankees. I get on the Yankees a little bit. I'm a huge Yankee fan, but I get on the Yankees for that. But it's ridiculous. You can't just start retiring numbers for the sake of it. It takes away from the Hall of Fame. You know, putting Harold Baines in cheapens it. Putting Pee Wee Reese and Phil Rizzuto in cheapens it. You can't just throw anybody in the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, it's not a Hall of Fame. It's just a museum for baseball players or football players or basketball players. You got to take it seriously. Otherwise, it's no longer a Hall of Fame. You can't have Harold Baines roaming the halls with Lou Gehrig and Willie Mays. It don't work. And you can't retire numbers of guys who were lesser players. Don't cheapen the tribute. You're cheapening the thought process behind it. Otherwise, retiring those guys' numbers is a waste of time. Football stopped doing it. They got the Ring of Honor. That's fine. For anybody up there, you care. But if you're going to take a guy's number out of commission for life, he better be somebody special. You know, the Giants, Phil Simms, is questionable, but I understand it. Phil was a great player on two Super Bowl teams. LT is the greatest player of all time, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I don't go back to the 60s and 50s with the Jimmy Browns and Dick Butkus guys. So I'm going to tell you, in the time I've watched football, 1976, watching it as an 8, 9, 10-year-old with my dad and my uncle every Sunday, LT is the best player I've ever seen. Change the game. You know, those are numbers that need to be retired. You know, if you're in the Hall of Fame, retire the number. If you're not a Hall of Famer, man, it's close. It's very questionable. So please, New York Knicks, do not retire these numbers. I don't care about Charles Oakley and Jim Dolan fighting. Jim Dolan's a moron. You know, you put bad product out there, you better expect your fans to talk shit at games. You better, you know, your the other players. You know, I get all of that. But don't desecrate the Hall of Fame or the retiring of numbers in the rafters by just appeasing people. Listen, let's be honest. The Knicks, since the early 70s, let's go back almost 50 years, there's one player, maybe two if I want to include Bernard King, who deserved to have their number retired. It's the same thing for the Rangers. You know, Leach, Messier, yeah, okay, I'll give you Messier. Messier was a great Ranger. Leach is a no-brainer. I get those. You know, Lundqvist is a maybe. Lundqvist is probably a Hall of Famer, so go ahead, I can see that. Short of that, please don't retire any numbers. It demeans it and desecrates it, as far as I'm concerned. So that's part of it. Mets win today. I saw the replay. You know, the umpire should have called Conforto out. He leaned in and certainly did not make any effort. You have to make an effort to get out of the way of a pitch, especially one that's pretty much – he was calling it a strike. So if you're calling a strike and you get hit with it and you didn't even try, to me, to Conforto is at that point out. Or I think it's an out, or at the very least, he does not get the base and it's a strike. So if it's a strike, he's probably out at that point. So to me, that was a bad call. Good win, I guess, for the Mets, you know, but – you know, we'll talk a little baseball now while I'm waiting for Jeff. And guys, welcome to Thursday at the Hard Rock and Sports Show. 347-826-9934 on the radio side. Oh, and you're listening on the YouTube side where you've got YouTube and Facebook. Thanks for checking us out. I know we're waiting on Jeff, but you know, listen, let's call it what it is. For the Yankees and the Mets. So let's do the Yankees first. Judge is hurt already. You know, Stanton had to have a day off at game three. I mean, what kind of baseball players are these? Yes, Patrick, absolutely. And Robert, I'm sorry. Good win for the Mets. I'm glad you got to see a win for the Mets. But let's be honest. That was a brutal call. That's a brutal call. And I heard Met fans today, I heard the guys on the FAN today going, well, he's had a tough season. He's got to do whatever he's got to do. You know what? I'm going to disagree. And you take a win as a win. But that's a Bush League play by a major league player. It's a Bush League play. You know, I get the idea of stepping into it to a certain degree, but when it's a strike, when the pitch is a strike, you cannot lean into it. The ball's out over the plate, and you don't make when the ball's outside of the strike zone, and you let it hit you, or you know what? It's a ball. I'll tell you, Bush to a certain degree, but a proper play when they are out there. And you are letting plays lean into strikes. That's disgusting. And the umpire should be suspended for a month. When you desecrate the position, when you hurt the game and change the outcome of the game with a bad call like that, he was calling it a strike. Watch his movements, folks. He's about to call it a strike and then says the player got hit. And it's questionable whether it hit him. When you listen to the sound, I can hear it. But it's questionable. He was calling it a strike. So if you're calling the ball a strike, when you're calling the pitch a strike and the player gets hit, that tells me he's in the strike zone. He's in the strike zone. But yes, again, he got away with it. He's hitting like crap. Here's a guy who's, you know, they're talking about giving a $200 million contract. He's left 16 men on base. You know, the Yankees and the Mets are at the point where they were the last few years. The Mets, the bullpen stinks. The manager makes questionable decisions, okay? And they can't drive in runs when they need to. Typical Mets. Yankees, your big players are hurt or resting early in the season. Judge has already got pain in his sides. You know, if I'm the Yankees, I'm going to really think about I will not have a problem if the Yankees do not offer Judge a huge long-term deal. Prove you can stay on the field. Prove it. Now, I like the starting rotation has been good. Kluber, other than Herman, Kluber's been good. Cole's been outstanding. Talion's pitched a nice game, four innings, but okay. They pulled him a little bit. The bullpen's been okay. Again, Torres is a terrible shortstop. Terrible, terrible, terrible shortstop. Okay? They got to find a way. At this point, he's got to go back to second. DJ LeMahieu to first. That probably means a lot less playing time for Voit, and you got to get a shortstop, a major league shortstop. He cost them the game last night with a terrible throw. And you, every time you watch him throw from shortstop, it looks mechanical. It looks like he has a hard time. Now, again, shortstop, catcher, either you better hit tremendously if you're bad in the field, and he's doing neither. Not a terrible player, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But he's not a pro shortstop. He's not a major league shortstop. And it's going to hurt the Yankees. But the Yankees, again, same situations. Can't hit in a big spot. Bases loaded, nobody out, nobody's driving in runs. They can't come up with a big, yeah, you're up three runs. Gene Colestan's hitting bombs. Yeah, beautiful. 474 home runs, launch angles, exit velocity. Who cares? Hit in a big spot. Hit in a big spot for me. 2-1 game, you're down. Now, again, last night, Higashioka, big hit in a big spot. Urshela, big hit in a big spot. And Tauchman, that's why Tauchman's on this team. Scores from first base on a questionable single, long single, short double, whatever you want to call it. Nice job by Tauchman. Phil Nevin's waving him around. Good job. Excellent slide. And if you didn't pay attention to the game last night, Brett Gardner, good job. Not only was he telling Tauchman with the slide, he was showing him where to slide. Old school baseball, folks. Old school baseball. You don't see it anymore. And again, I the same problems with both teams this early in the season. And it's not being, the Yankees are going to win 90-something games. The Mets will win close to 90 games. But both teams have the same exact problems at this point that they've had for the last few years. And it's just, you know, as a Yankee fan, I know they're going to win some games. You're going to play 30-something games against the Red Sox and the Orioles. You're going to win a bunch of them. You're going to split down the line, probably down the line with Toronto and Tampa Bay. Okay? And you're going to beat up on a bad American League. Let's look at it. The American League is bad. Other than the Astros, who, you know, I'll get to Dusty Baker in a minute. But, guys, you know, at some point, Judge has got to stay on the field. He's not Jeter. Jeter played every day. Mickey Mantle played 99% of the time with taped up like a mummy. Guys, it's ridiculous. And if I will not have a problem if the New York Yankees decide to give him a very small contract or don't give him the big contract he wants. He can't stay on the field. And a bad job by Cashman with Stanton. You can get, listen, the guy could be Mr. Olympia. I don't care. You're game three of the season, and you're already managing his time. Guys, come on, man. You play 3 hours a day. Of that, an hour and a half of that, you're sitting on the bench. It's a joke. And yes, Matt, Conforto is overrated, and if the Mets give him a $200 million contract, I hope they choke on it. This is the problem with baseball today. You give out these contracts to players who just because, I mean, especially for the Mets, he's a Met from the minor leagues. Who cares? He's an average to below average player. He can't hit with runners in scoring position. He had a great season in 60 games last year. Let's wake up. And you know what? Cashman, nice job on a rotation. Bullpen hasn't been bad. But you're still making the same problems. You can't hit in the big spot. When is Aaron Hicks ever going to hit? He's hitting in the third spot. He's horrendous. Sanchez hits a couple of bombs. He's back. Back to what? Judge can't stay in the field. Stanton's got to get a couple days off. What are we talking about, folks? What are we talking about? The Mets, same thing. Bullpen's horrendous. What was the Rojas thinking? DeGrom's out there 70 pitches. He's cruising. You take him out? You don't play Dom Smith. You play you come up. Again, they overthink. You're overthinking. Stop. The game is simple. You pitch it. You hit it. You run. You catch it. And you throw him out. These guys want to reinvent the wheel. Same problems. Mets, terrible managing. Terrible bullpen. Can't hit with runners in scoring position. Yankees can't hit with runners in scoring position. Torres is terrible. I love his bat, but it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Move him over to second. LeMahieu plays first. Call it a day. Call it a day. LeMahieu gets a little bit of first. He gets a little second. He gets a little third. He'll DH a day once a week and call it a day. It's frustrating. I ain't even getting yet to Major League Baseball and the All-Star Game bullshit. We'll get there in a few. But as far as the Yankees and the Mets go, it's a short window, but it's the same window we've been staring at, the same mirror we've been looking into for years now. And you got to end it. You got to find a way to get past it. And this core group, if this year they don't do it, then you know what? I'm sorry. It's time to move on for some of them. Judge has got to get on the field. He's got to play 140 games. He's got to play 135 games. He can't play 90 games. You're a big boy. Stay on the field. My side is sore. My side is sore. Who cares? Get out there and play baseball. Stanton, I'm Mr. America, but I can't play game three of the season. I can't play game three. I need to rest. I don't want to play in 5 days in a row. Why not? It's an hour of athletics. It's an hour. You stand there. He DHs. He can't play three games in a row. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely positively ridiculous. Guys, Hard Rock and Sports, 347-826-9934. Sorry for the rant, but I've been watching this all week, and it's frustrating, completely frustrating on my part when I watch these things. So, you know, I apologize for yelling, and I apologize, but I love the game so much, and I've watched such great players in my life that when I see people want to just desecrate or diminish and not put the effort in, yeah, I know. But it's just frustrating. You know, and I'll tell you what, the only sport today, and they've even watered that down, is hockey. I mean, the guys go out there, and those guys get teeth knocked out, get hit in the head with a puck, and they're out there the next period. These basketball players, Kyrie Irving's, I woke up today, I don't want to play, and he takes 3-4 games off. Durant, I mean, Harden, these guys are like sissies. I don't know how else to say it. They're sissies. Let me get my dad on, see what he's got to say. I'm on a rant today, guys. Please stay on with us. We got So High coming up. Hopefully Jeff will be on soon. Let's do this. Let's get my dad on. What's up, Pop?
What's up, Tommy? I hear you, and I agree with a lot. But you know what I think what the problem is? Yeah. Right now, you may not believe it, but the way I look at it, mm-hmm. all these teams, the Nets, the Yankees, the Mets, they know they're actually sitting down waiting for the playoffs.
You're game four of 162.
It doesn't matter. They know. The Yankees are almost guaranteed 90-something wins, close to 100. So they make the playoffs. Okay, look at the Nets. You go to Barclays Center, and you don't know who's playing. How are you going to tell me every night one of them is hurt and has to sit out? No, they're resting them. They know they're going to make the playoffs.
But don't you think that at some point you kind of got to get all of them on the court at the same time, or you run the risk of kind of not being...
I think so and so do you, but they're not. I mean, look at the sport. Look at all your sports. Look at, I mean, you got three guys. I can't tell you the amount of times that the Nets had their three players on there. I can't tell you. And he's out. Oh, he's got a muscle strain. He's got a sore in his back. I mean, I don't understand. So they know they're going to win X amount of games. You know, it reminds me a lot of what a guy told me once on a construction site. He said, from the beginning, we can actually sit here and tell you exactly how many guys are going to get hurt, how many guys are going to go to hospital, how many guys are going to do. He said, we can tell you that. And sports is the same way. So they say, the Yankees know they're going to make the playoffs unless their plane crashes. All right? So why should they... So what they do now is instead of playing them constantly, they play them Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. You're arresting them.
That's the only way to say it. But at some point, throw out the basketball. It's second half of the year. You're getting close to the playoffs. Dad, it's game three, and Stanton, who's the DH, is taking a day off.
Yeah.
I mean, am I insane? It's a Sunday game. I know you're playing Monday, but it's game three. He DHs, which means he plays about 7 minutes a night.
I agree.
Come on.
Baseball used to be 5 days, 6 days a week. Every Sunday was a doubleheader. Every Sunday was a doubleheader. There was no such thing about a single game on a Sunday. And very, very rarely would you ever see a night game. I think I could count on one hand the times we had night games. Everything was during the day. So you were playing in 90-degree days with the heavy. But today it's different. Today it's analytics. They do all this garbage.
I get it and all that. But, you know, again, if this was August and you had 7 days in a row and you say, I want to give my guy, I can get that. I understand it. But to be, you know, April, beautiful weather. You know, it's not like it's 90 degrees out. It's 60-something degrees. It's 70 degrees out. It's beautiful. And you can't play as the DH 5 games in a row, 6 games in a row?
They can't do it. They won't do it.
I understand it.
I understand how you feel. I feel the same way. I mean, I sit here and I think about games that I used to watch, guys pitching 9, 10, 11 innings, guys pitching 140-something, guys – They tell you today it's because of Tommy John. You got more guys going for, you got high school kids going for Tommy John.
Yeah.
They can't pitch against 4 innings, 5 innings. Look at what's his name. I mean, come on, from the Mets. What is 77 pitches? They took him out of the game and they lost. They wind up losing the game. Why? Hmm. Why? I don't understand. But that's the way they play today.
Yeah, listen, Yeah, I get it. I don't understand it anymore, and it's frustrating. And again, you know, they talk about, well, Judge is going to be coming up for a contract. How do you give Judge a big contract when the guy can't stand the field? I mean, it's again game 4 or 5. He's played okay. He's hit the ball okay, but you can't. You go all of a sudden now again. We got a pain in the side, and how long is this going to last?
Today's sports are a lot different than they used to be. Today it's more like, to be honest with you, it's more like wrestling where it's almost fixed.
Yeah.
And I don't mean by winning games and losing. I mean, they will not put somebody out there. Oh, he's more value to us. They put him on TV. They're trying to get Judge to be the next, when I use say that, I mean very loosely, the next Mickey Mantle, where Judge is the big deal.
I got it.
He don't do nothing.
But it's manufactured. It's manufactured.
Yeah,
you know, Gina was the face of baseball because he played every day. He played really well, played big well in big spots. You know, Mickey Mantle was Mickey Mantle. You know, he put up numbers, played. You know, the guy was a mummy when he played sometime. These guys are sissies. I don't know how else to say it. They're sissies.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. And then Gleyber Torres, guy's one of the worst shortstops. He lost 2 games for the Yankees.
At some point that we all say the same thing. You know, insanity is you know, the same thing happening constantly and you expected a different outcome. That's, you know, it's the same problems. Now, I'll grant it, the starting rotation has looked okay so far. You know, you like the way the starting rotations look right now. It's one turn, you know, I think Cole's had a second turn. But, you know, the bullpen's been okay. They can't hit the big spot. Right? They can't hit the big spot. They can't stay on the field. And I'll give credit. Gardner's been okay. Tachman did a great job last night scoring from first. Great job by Gardner at the plate to get him to slide in the right spot. But short of that, you know, they're losing games. They can't get a big hit.
You know what you find out, Tommy? Find out that – and the only couple of plays that aren't like that are DJ LeMahieu and Gardner. The rest of them are home run hitters, or they try to be. And anybody will tell you a home run hitter is a streak hitter. He'll play 2 weeks, he'll hit 5, 6 home runs, then he'll go 2 weeks, and he can't even foul a ball back.
I get it.
They can never win the World Series. They can't get past so-and-so. Why? Because if you get all you're playing against is good pitching.
I get it. Yeah, it's me and my dad. We're going to pick up Jeff in a second. It's his show. But Hard Rock and Sports, 347-826-9934 on the radio side. Most of you guys are watching us on the Facebook and YouTube pages. Remember next week, Matt Salitri, Frank Jeffrey, and Jeff and I doing NFL draft preview. And the 29th, we'll be on the air. The entire show will be dedicated to the draft.
I'm going
to
let you bring your right-hand man on. Enjoy
thanks,
your night.
Yep.
And I'll talk to you guys over the weekend. Same
you got
it, Jeff.
Dad. I will, Pops. That's my daddy checks in every week. It's great having him on. And he's a good perspective. He's kind of a little more old school with me. But let's, you know, tonight's dedicated to my partner in crime. He is now, I want you guys to stay on, and I want you to acknowledge that he's now calling himself the GOAT. He went on such a limb predicting that the Jets would trade Sam Darnold. Nobody out there predicted that Sam Darnold would be traded. Nobody but my partner in crime, the backbone of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, the living legend, the GOAT himself, Mr. Jeff Towinski. This is his show. It's his time to shine. Let's get him on and let him do his thing.
I'm in the middle of doing something, man, because I am the GOAT. We do what I want to do when I want to do it. I'm ready now.
You ready now?
I'm ready.
All right. So Mr. GOAT.
The reason why is because you could look back on past shows. It's there on YouTube. And you said the Jets are going to keep them. They're going to have both quarterbacks. They're going to have Sam Darnold. I was like, no way. They're not going to do it. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I predicted it.
Well, again, okay. So let me bow to the altar of Jeff Towinski. You did. 100% you said. Now, if you read the papers, which I do every day, if you read everything online, It was not a foregone conclusion until they made the trade. There was a lot of talk in the Met world and Jets world that they were going to keep Sam Darnold and let him compete for a job with Zach Wilson. So it was a 50-50 shot. Now they came up and said, hey, you know what?
How do you draft a quarterback with the second pick in the draft and then have a quarterback competition with somebody that hasn't played a full season?
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's why I'll tell you they made that trade. And it's a simple one. They can tell you all they want about Zach Wilson's our guy. They got a really good offer. Joe Douglas deserves a pat on the back. He got a great offer. He held out. Nobody was competing with them. It was basically, you know, they competed with themselves. But they got Carolina to offer up a number 6 this year and a number 4 and a number 2 next year. That's pretty good, Jeff. That's a really good job by Joe Douglas.
3 picks
yeah.
for a quarterback that has not yet played a full season.
Correct.
And who at times seems to have gone backwards.
Yes.
Is excellent.
I agree.
What Joe Douglas needs to do now.
Okay.
Absolutely what he needs to do now. As a matter of fact, if he's listening, watching his show, listen to me, Joe. You need to go public and tell everybody that you want Justin Fields.
Okay.
That's because
why?
I believe that the 49ers traded up to get Justin Fields.
But do you think that the 49ers would take either guy at this point?
Take what?
Well, you got to think the 49ers.
No, I don't think so. I think that they.
See, I disagree.
I think that they think that the Jets are going after Zach Wilson, and that's their guy, and that they want Justin Fields because they're going to his second pro day. So now, if I was the Jets, I would be like, you know what? We're going to his pro day, too, because we want to see him again. This guy's great.
This is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. You know, here's the thing. The Jets have all...
It may never happen, but all they got to do is...
Do you think the 49ers are going to do what happened with the Bears with them? Don't forget, it was the Bears and the 49ers who made that trade where the Bears jumped one spot and gave away a king's ransom for Trubisky, who's out.
What do you have to lose?
No, you're 100% right. But
what do you have to lose by throwing your line out in the water?
No, you're right.
And then suppose San Francisco says, all right, we'll trade and we'll give you our second round pick. And then you're Joe Douglas, you walk away laughing.
I agree, but I think that the 49ers moved up to take Justin Fields because they know the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. They knew the Jets were taking.
That's why I'm saying
the
Jets need, they should say something, advertise Justin Wilson, be like, we're going to see Justin Wilson. At least if I was the GM, because What's the difference?
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me throw this quick scenario at you. We got Sohai coming up in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk more in depth about this trade. I want to get to Major League Baseball and the All-Star Game movement. But, Jeff, what if the 49ers call their bluff, make the trade with the Jets, give them a number two, move up, right, and take Zach Wilson?
It is something to consider, without
right.
a doubt.
That's why I don't think they'd ever make that move. They want Zach Wilson.
Justin Fields has been coming up. The what do you call it? They've been talking him up a lot. You know, they've been his stock is rising. I should say. How's that?
Justin Fields? Yes. Yeah. You're talking about Justin Fields? Yes, absolutely. His stock has been rising, but I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Well, listen, they're going after Zach Wilson, who may not even be as good.
I agree.
I was watching some of his Justin Fields the other night on TV. There was a college station I was watching.
Okay.
And me and the dog were watching some old Ohio State games.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Fields, he looks good. He's a little bit bigger than Zach Wilson.
Much bigger, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's a little – that alone – I think would intrigue me a little bit more. I just think that at this point in time, you have nothing to lose. You really don't have anything to lose. And let's just say that let's play it the way that I said, and that the Niners actually want Justin Fields, and they move up and they give the Jets a little of something extra.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt to even find out. You could only find out if you inquire, you know?
Well, here's the thing. The only way you could do that as a Jet GM is if you are willing to say, I can live with either one of these two guys and I can
true.
Get a pick.
Very true.
That's the only way you could do that. If you're and again, it seems like Joe Douglas's heart is already in the Zach Wilson, in the Zach Wilson fan club. It's pretty much that's where he's headed. Now, the question is, to do what you're doing, you have to be okay with either one of those two guys being your guy, if you're going to make that move, because the likelihood is the Jets are going to, if the Jets made that trade, I don't like any of these guys, to be honest with you, other than Trevor Lawrence, I'm not big on any of these guys, but if you're going to make that move, you're a Jets, you better be okay with either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. And I don't believe anybody is, you know, tell me the last Ohio State quarterback who was any good as a pro. It just hasn't happened. And
listen, regardless,
yeah.
all barriers, all things change.
Sure, absolutely.
All barriers are broken at some point in time, okay? But here's the thing. Let's just say that the Jets do have a second quarterback in mind.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be Justin Fields.
Oh, it could be Trey Lance.
It doesn't have to be. It could be Trey Lance. Anybody. Sure. Now, Trey Lance, the guy's name is?
Yes, North Dakota State, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I would take him, only because look at what you got with Sam Wentz,
yep.
Carson Wentz,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's not all that great.
No.
And everything. And it's just, I would be a little bit worried about taking from a smaller college.
I agree. I think there's a lot of questions. The guy I like most is Mac Jones, but even Mac Jones has a lot of questions. He played with a tremendous supporting cast, you know, in college. But I like Mac Jones, but he's got to fall into the right place to play. Otherwise, he's going to struggle. I like Mac Jones. But he needs to wind up in a place where it's built specifically to protect him and play to his strengths. And, you know, Jeff, we talk about it all the time. If the congratulations, Leonard. Let me tell you something. Absolutely outstanding. And if I get a chance Saturday, I might come out there and see opening day with you. So, but anyway.
You're going to be on the island?
I might. Well, I was going to come out Saturday morning for the Juicy Lucy thing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
I'm going no place.
I'm not going anywhere. Hard Rock and Sports, Long Live East Shore Little League. That's right. East Shore Little League's probably the, what's this?
Have any idea what this is, bro?
Well, I want to talk to you about it. So my wife works on Saturday, so I didn't know if you wanted me to come out Saturday. We do that just us, and then do something, or you want to wait till the following Saturday when my wife is off, and then I'll come out and do it with you. So I'll leave that up to you. Something I wanted to talk to you about.
I actually have to work this Saturday.
Oh, do you?
30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
But yes, I'm going to probably come out to the island to check out Juicy Lucy.
I was only busting ball. I wasn't doing that on live TV here.
Hey, Leonard, what time is the game? Leonard, what time is the game Saturday? Because I'm going to try to come out, check out the Little League game, and then I'll go over to Juicy Lucy for a few minutes and then head out. So let me know what time the game is on Saturday, and I'll come out and root on Leonard Anthony's Amigos on opening day at my old alma mater, East Shore Little League, where I was a star. Might not believe it, folks, but at 10, 11, 12 years old, I was quite the ball player at East Shore Little League. So I'll pat myself on the back, but neither here nor there. But, Jeff, this, you know, 9 a.m. ceremony, it's 9 a.m. December 10th game. Okay, I'm going to do my best to be there, Leonard. I'll reach out to you. Got to see what my early morning schedule is. But anyway, Jeff, you know, there's a lot to talk about the Sam Darnold thing. We got a lot to talk about tonight, Jeff. We got Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game. We got, yeah, I talked a lot about the Mets and the Yankees and the disgrace that they've been so far. I want to talk about Deshaun Watson. I don't want to talk about it through now because there's a lot to talk about Deshaun Watson. Go ahead.
Real quick about the Mets and Yankees. You know I'm not big on baseball, sure. So I don't say much. But I heard your old man saying something about the Yankees and the pitches, that they're not pitching a lot. Could we just touch base on that real quick?
Go ahead. Go for it.
I think it's that the way that everything in the world today seems to be changing.
Yep.
Hardly any of it seems to be changing for the better.
Can't argue that.
And that includes certain sports. And I really honestly and truly see baseball. I don't know what they're doing. Okay. Baseball needs to be saved, I think. I really do. I don't think it has the audience that it once had. I don't think people look forward to baseball the way they once did. And I think a lot of it has to do with certain changes.
Mm-hmm.
The pitches being changed. Okay? Okay, guys pitching only a couple innings and then they get yanked. I could see if it's a crucial game, the seventh game of the World Series, you want to put a bunch of guys in that, you know, you want to get ahead and whatever.
Yep.
I can understand that to an extent. Maybe start your reliever and then put your number one in for like in the second half of the game so we can get you five or six innings.
Right.
Whatever. I can understand the strategy behind something of that nature.
Got
okay.
It.
But these guys that are only pitching a quarter of the innings that some of these other guys in the past have pitched, it's just a shame. It's a mockery of the game, I think. I really do. What happened to the days where guys would go out and were like, you pitch nine innings, you're the pitcher, you go out and you pitch. And that was it. You had to be out there. You know, and I'm talking like way, way before our time.
Not really, just 75. If I go back and rattle up, there's a bunch of guys with 30.
I'm talking back in the early days.
But I'm talking about 75. At 75, there's a bunch of guys who had like 20-something complete games, 30 complete games in 1975, 76. So it ain't that long ago. But you're right, Jeff. It feels like a long time, yes. And I was talking about that earlier. Judge is already taking a day, is taking time off for, you know, possibly being hurt. Stanton's a DH, essentially plays about 8 minutes a night and had to take game three off because he can't play three games in a row.
Judge.
Yeah, that no, that was Stanton. That was Stanton. Go ahead.
I when Judge came up, mm-hmm. what is it by now, 4 or 5 years ago?
I think 2017, I believe, was his rookie year. So this should probably be his fifth year.
Okay. I remember telling my boss, I was like, do you think Judge is a bust? And he's like, what, are you crazy? No way. And I'm like, well, you know, I says, is he going to have the same year that he next year as he's having this year? Is this guy the real deal? And he was like all in on mm-hmm. Judge.
Yep.
And he was like, oh, no, this guy's great. You're going to see. I don't think that. I think it was the kiss of death. I don't think the guy's played a full season since
then. No, he has not. He has not. And that's part of the problem. The guy's going to be up for a big contract soon. And I, as a Yankee fan, I love Judge because of, you know, the way he plays the game and his personality. But let's be honest, I would not give him a 10-year deal right now. Absolutely not.
How are you going to sign a guy on his personality? You want to sign a guy that's going to play a game, right. And this guy doesn't get to play. He doesn't play. He's always injured.
I agree.
What kind of contract would you offer Judge?
Right now, I would not give him more than a 3-year deal. I would not give him more than a 3-year, 20-something million dollar deal. And again, you're still buying into the fact that you are going to get more out of him. And to be honest with you, to me, if this team this year fails, you have to give a real serious thought to breaking up parts of this team. Sanchez, not giving Judge the long-term deal, maybe moving Torres. You know, this team needs to win this year because, listen, it's just, you know, it's 4 or 5 years with the core group of players and they're not winning and they're not playing. And Patrick's right. Salaries are ridiculous. The analytics and the overmanaging and killed the Mets the other night. And the Yankees just can't stay healthy.
Yes, but you know what? You can't, and Patrick, I don't know if you'll agree with this, but let's give it a whirl.
Good.
You can't, and we've talked about this before, you cannot blame the players for the salaries.
No, absolutely not.
You can blame the players for asking for the salaries.
Sure.
Okay, but it's the, and at the end of it all, it's the managers.
The owners.
That are willing to pay these salaries.
Yes, I agree.
For these players.
Yeah.
And now Judge is a perfect example. If the Yankees and Judge part ways,
yep,
you see Judge going on any other team. The team's not important. Let's say he goes to Pittsburgh. Or I'm not going to say Pittsburgh. Let's say he goes to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just throwing a team out there, a bigger market team.
Okay.
Do you see Boston giving him a $20 million a year, $10 million, 10-year deal?
No. I don't see anybody doing it. If he doesn't stay healthy this year, like, now if he comes out this year and lights it up, plays 140 games, you know, hits 35, 40 homers, you know, yeah, I could see him getting that contract. But if he doesn't, if he plays 110 games, hits 25, you know, home runs, you know, in a shortened season, no. He'll get money because he's Aaron Judge and the potential is going to be there. But I wouldn't give him more than a 3-year deal. You can't. You just can't do it. As a Yankee fan, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it either. And to tell you the truth, you're saying you're hoping to get 140 games out of him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's terrible. This is a young guy. Well, he's not even 30 years old, right?
27, I think.
27 years old. This guy should be playing every game, be looking to play every game.
Jeff, I agree with you. And guys, it's 7:46. I'm just giving a few more seconds. I only see one member of the band so high up here so far, so I'll hang in there a second, but you know, we'll keep talking until I see a few more people pop up. Hopefully we'll be getting them soon. We have a short amount of time. We got a lot to get to tonight, so hopefully those guys pop up. But I see Kent hanging in there, so we'll get Kent on in a minute or two, but let's see if anybody else pops up. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I want to talk a little bit about bands and new music. I want to talk about Iron Maiden and a What If free a concert with all three original singers. Tom Brady still taking some pot shots at Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I want to get to Major League Baseball and moving the All-Star game, the NCAA Finals, possibly a movie review of Draft Day. I got a feeling Jeff didn't watch the movie, so I got a feeling we won't be doing our Draft Day review.
Yeah. Oh, shit. You know what happened? Somebody took my VCR.
Yeah, it's only on Netflix and Amazon Prime, but that's okay.
I don't know. Dude, I have a smart – do you have a smart TV?
I do.
How do you enjoy your smart TV?
I do.
Do you like it? Do you use it a lot?
No, I really don't. I don't particularly care for – it doesn't matter to me what it does. I use it for regular cable, and then I have Netflix and Amazon accounts where I can watch movies or documentaries. I've watched a lot of documentaries. I watch a really good one. I got to tell you, if we're big wrestling fans, and I know – you don't watch a lot of TV. I told you about the Iron Sheik documentary, which was really good. I watched the Jake the Snake Resurrection. Jeff.
Okay, how was that?
Got to watch it.
Yeah.
Terrific. Jake the Snake, Diamond Dallas Page, and Scott Hall pops up in there. Really cool documentary.
You need to text my wife.
Okay.
And tell her these shows that you need me to watch. That's what you need to do for me because, one, I instantly forget. Two, I have a smart TV,
mm-hmm.
but real quick, back in 1995, I had met my first wife,
mm-hmm.
and I'd run home from work, and I'd take a shower, and then I'd zip to her house and hang out with her.
Right.
And when I get there, she'd be on the phone.
Okay.
So I'm like, who'd be on the phone with her? She's like, it's your father. I'm like, where? And she's like, well, all right, all you got to do is put the TV on, okay, now see the cable box, hit power button. So then she'd be like, okay, it's good now? Okay, bye. My father would not know how to put the TV on, would call her in hopes of getting me.
Mm-hmm.
And every day she would be telling him how to put the TV on.
Okay.
I've turned into my father.
Ah.
Okay. I can't even put the fucking TV on and find these things.
It's very simple.
My wife is sitting there with the remote. It just.
Yeah, I do the same thing, and I do it for my wife, and I do it for my mother-in-law. I'm like a TV repairman in the house.
Oh,
but, Jeff. If you don't have an Amazon Prime account for TV, I'll give you my codes.
I might have one, Tom.
I'm just saying.
I have Amazon Prime.
Right. So if you have Amazon Prime, then you have access to all their videos. I'm telling you, Jeff, I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but there's some great documentaries, especially on the wrestlers. And the Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Like I said, you have to text her and tell her.
I will definitely I will do that. So maybe we'll talk about that next week. And I played, I don't know if you got to watch it, but the Andre, I played an Andre the Giant promo with Bob Uecker before WrestleMania 3.
Yes.
Dude,
I remember when that happened.
It's the funniest video ever, because forget about, first off, Andre as a heel is much better than Andre as a babyface. Andre the heel is funny. He's outgoing. He's got a great laugh.
How could either way?
Yeah.
How are you going to stop him?
Right. No, I got it. But he wasn't as outgoing. He wasn't as outgoing as a babyface. He wasn't as funny and demonic. It was just great. But when he chokes Uecker at the end, and you watch Uecker's face, I must have watched it 15 times today. I was crying the whole time. I thought it was great. Uecker's one of the funniest human beings alive. Google Bob Uecker, especially his appearances on Johnny Carson. Bob Uecker is one of the funniest human beings of all time. It doesn't get the credit.
One of the greatest things that I ever seen Andre the Giant do was when Bobby Heenan, and I think you sent me the video with the machines.
Yes. Yes.
And they were like, no, he's from Japan. Meanwhile, he was like, Bobby Heenan's like, nobody in Japan is over 5'3".
And he's bowing.
A French accent.
It was great. I loved it. It's one of the best things ever. I agree.
Yeah, it's great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, we're going to wait one more minute, then we're going to get Kent on. And if I don't know where everybody is at for So High, but we'd love to get them on. So we'll give it another minute. But, guys, Hard Rock and Sports, lots to talk about tonight. Still planning to get you next week. Matt Salitri, Frank Jeffrey, Jeff, and myself, we're going to sit back and do our preview of the NFL draft. We'll go through the all four of our teams. We'll go through the first round a little bit, getting set up for the NFL draft on the 29th. Jeff and I will be doing it live one way or the other, but we'll be doing that live. And this, I got to tell you, Jeff, the first four or five picks, if nothing changes, I think it's pretty much set already, which we'll get to next week. You know, this might be a boring first round and a quick first round, because I think the first four or five players are going to fall off the table.
Well, however it transpires.
Okay, there they are. I see the band now, so let's get them on.
They have the, they use the full 10 minutes, it seems, sometimes.
Yeah.
It would be beautiful if they're like one right after another, you know, like as soon as, like, you don't even have time to go in the back and get the envelope. They're running it out to him.
I see the boys now from So High. Let's get them on. So, again, guys, remember, here, Hard Rock and Sports, 347-826-9993-4 is the number to call in. Listen through your phone. You can check us up on your tablet, Blog Talk Radio, or come on to our show's Facebook page, YouTube pages. Make sure you go out there and click on the button for the YouTube page. Subscribe. Helps us out. And, of course, check us out on Facebook. Go to our Facebook page and support the show. We come out here every Thursday night. We try to entertain. We have a little fun. But I see the boys out there, so let's get Kent and everybody from So High on there. Let's bring them on one at a time. Guys, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the band So High, I played them out a couple times. I opened the show with Bucknut. Great video.
What was the name of the song?
Bucknut.
Bucknut?
Yes.
B-U-C-K?
Yes. Okay. Great song. Opened up with Mr. Buster Douglas, which is a favorite of mine. I love anybody who knocks Mike Tyson out is a favorite of mine. But these guys, and again, I said it before when I played it, they're kind of across from me. I'm sure not a lot of people have heard Granny Four Barrel, but they sound like Granny Four Barrel and Blackstone Cherry had a baby. And I'm sure they don't probably follow either band, but that's what it sounds like. But let's get the boys on.
I hope they don't think that they sound like somebody else. And
let's get everybody from the band on and have some fun. And hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Welcome to the show. I can see you guys are a little on the small side right now. So I see Kent. I see I think we lost the other guys. Kent, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
So, Kent, since you're the only representative on the line right now, Kent, how you doing? Where are you checking in from?
I'm checking in from Gallipolis, Ohio.
Wow. Okay. Jeff, you have ever been to Gallipolis, Ohio, Jeff?
Never.
Okay.
Even knew it existed until about 10 seconds ago.
That's okay, Kent. we're always looking to spread things out a little bit. Let's see. Okay, I see you guys. Thank you. So, Kent, tell us a little bit about what's going on. I mean, tell us about the band a little bit. Give us a little insight on what is So High and what does it represent?
Well, usually people think so high, they're thinking one thing in particular.
Yes, I would say the left-handed cigarette you're talking about.
Yes.
But that's actually not it. It's actually short for Southern Ohio, because that's where we're all from. Just a couple of small towns apart, so we're all just a bunch of small town hillbillies on the Ohio River.
Okay, and I see SJ's over there now. You guys are a little bit on the – who else is there? I see – let's see. Who else is there with you, SJ? I can't hear a word you guys are saying. You guys got to get the volume up. We got some technical difficulties in Southern Ohio. So,
well, I think it's operator error.
Hey, Ken, you know what? The first thing I think about when I hear that video, first off, it's two bands that bring to mind, but I'm waiting for Drew Carey to come running out and go, Ohio! Like it's really such a cool song. I love the sound of the band. Where does it come from? Like where do you guys get your influences?
Actually, we're kind of all over the place influence wise, but we've all known each other for 20 plus years, but it's the first time we've ever actually been in a band together all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
My influences, I actually started out in bluegrass and then morphed on to country and rock, and now you're hearing So High. So, and Steve's got a hair metal background, that's SJ.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy does too, so we're kind of all over the place stylistically.
Hey, SJ, you out there now? I'm still not hearing SJ. I see the boys. I just can't get you. You know what? You guys are so pretty. We need to hear your voices, though. We're not hearing them at all out there. But we'll keep talking to Kent again. We got the boys from So High. You know, I got to tell you, I love you guys. Look like a fun band, but the sound is so like gutter. It just grabs you, and the song's got a great melody. So I love the stuff. What's Bucknut? And where does Buster Douglas step in on all of this?
Well, Bucknut, obviously, we're from Ohio, so we're Buckeyes, and we kind of wanted to do a song that kind of represented the state.
Mm-hmm.
And Buster is kind of, we had some mutual acquaintances with him,
mm-hmm.
and we hit him up, and he was more than willing to be in the video. And we've been trying to support some of his brands, his clothing line, and his bourbon. So we've been trying to, reciprocate back and forth. And Buster's a super cool dude. He was great to work with.
Yeah, Buster Douglas has his own brand of bourbon.
Yes, 42-1.
Isn't he like a rampaging diabetic or some shit? That's like the last thing he should be drinking, right?
Yeah. Well, he actually got really heavy there for a while.
Yes.
But he's actually lost quite a bit of weight. He's looking way better than what he used to. So he seems like he's got his health under control now. But yep, he's got 42-1. It's some killer bourbon.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to order that online and get it. I meant to do it this week. I just got a little busy, but I went on the clothing line. I saw some really cool stuff, so I'm gonna order some stuff this weekend. And we're big on supporting our guests, and they're coming in. Let's see if SJ and the rest of the boys are on the volume yet. Still not hearing you guys.
Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
We can't hear you.
I hear the marbles rattling, SJ. I'm not hearing your voice. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Whatever Ken's doing, you guys got to duplicate, because for whatever reason, we're not hearing you guys.
They got to check their mic. Maybe their mic isn't on or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll keep going with Kent. And it looks like there's a very big following. I see a lot of people I've never recognized here. Bird Manring and Laura Lisa Imar and Katie Barnett and Michael Eberts. Thanks, guys, for checking in. I'm sure you guys are all So High people, so thanks for checking out Hard Rock and Sports. And do me a favor, hit us up on Facebook. Come on back every week. We talk sports and we talk music, and sometimes we talk gibberish, right, Jeff? We talk a little bit of everything every week.
A little bit too much gibberish sometimes, Jeff.
Sometimes, but that's okay.
Hey,
gibberish.
I was enjoying the Hall of Fame talk, by the way.
Okay.
I agree 100% about the – you just can't let anybody into the Hall of Fame. It sours it. It's not
– Yeah, when you retire a number, or, I'd say this. if you're retiring a number, it's got to be a Hall of Famer or a guy who meant, like, in New York, Don Mattingly, not a Hall of Famer, borderline Hall of Fame career, but Don Mattingly was the face of baseball for a while. So you understand the Yankees retiring his number. But when you start retiring numbers of guys who are just good players or fan favorites, it just kind of – it diminishes – hey, Tricia Sands. It diminishes who the uniqueness of it. And same thing with Hall of Fame. If you're going to stick Hall of Famers in, like, and like Cleveland guy, Harold Baines is a good baseball player. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's a good player.
Yep.
Well, let's see if SJ's any better. SJ, how about now, SJ? Give us a little volume. Come on, baby. Yeah.
You know, Tom, you bring up the Hall of Fame, and I think that they were such a high-caliber player that they were putting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And in all sports, not just baseball or whatever, but it's hard to duplicate what these guys have, you know, the records they did and the careers they have. You're not just going to get players and put them in. You know, it's almost like they have no choice but to lower their standards, I think. And it takes away from the people that are in there.
But then, Kent, if you have to lower the standard, then don't put anybody in. Make it special. Make it where the award or the recognition means something to people, whether it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, or whatever, retiring a jersey or putting a banner in the sky. It, you know, it should mean something to people.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fine if football, for instance, you know, had a year where nobody went in.
Correct.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. And same thing for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If you have nobody, let's not put in, you know, LL Cool J in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame just to fill a spot.
Yeah,
you know,
you got to do is change the name of that, man.
Yeah.
Make it fun. Music Hall of Fame. They shouldn't be called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you know, it's just one of those things where I just think it cheapens it. And you don't make it special anymore when you're just throwing people in to fill. We happen to do a show this year, and if we don't, you know, baseball, I'll give baseball credit. You know, one player this year, you know, they've, you know, tried to make it better, but too many, especially football, seven guys a year. Some of those guys, it's just you shake your head, and after a while, it's like, just put me and Jeff are going to get in soon. I mean, at some point, they're going to put me and Jeff in.
Know about you.
Well, you know, I've seen you might get in as a GOAT, but who knows? And this show is titled The GOAT because Jeff is the greatest football analyst there ever was, according to Jeff. So, and thanks, Black.
Can I give him a little background, please?
Please, yeah, Jeff. Give Kent and SJ, he's listening. I don't know if he can actually talk to us yet, but
me and Tommy are friends for 40 years, okay? But we've been doing this show together for the last couple of years, and it's been cool. Everything's great. And Tommy and me have difference of opinions on everything when it comes to sports. And that's great. That's what makes the show great. And a couple of weeks ago, he was saying how the Jets are going to keep Sam Darnold and this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, absolutely not. It's not going to happen. So, lo and behold, the Jets trade Sam Darnold and did complete opposite of what Tommy said. So, hence, I am the fucking greatest.
Yes.
Because I called it before it happened.
Yeah.
And Tommy is still over there hoping that the Giants, the New York Giants, re-sign Eli Manning. That's where he's at.
You know, Jeff, so, you might as well predict that at 8 o'clock at night, the sun's going to go down and they're going to get the moon. You might as well predict the same thing. If you didn't go out on some limb, but listen, I think SJ and the boys are finally up.
What is going on now? That's, what is going on?
Now we got him. How you doing, SJ?
Oh my God.
Okay, so wait. So who we got? Who's on there with you, SJ? Because you guys are in this. You guys are far back.
Jeremy, our drummer. This is my neighbor, Michael Everts. I'm sorry. My next-door neighbor that is a sports authority. So, so since we wanted to talk about sports, you know, I brought him.
Hey, Michael. And I see Steve. I see another camera. It looks like you also, but I'm not sure about that one. But
man.
You could kill that one, Steve. SJ, we got you now. So we got the voice from so high on. And by the way, thank you to the guys at the Black Sasquatch who hooked me up with SJ and Kent and Jeremy and now Mike. Ted Wilson's one of the best people in the world. Bub, the whole band of good guys, but they're always looking out for the show. And I'm a big fan of Black Sasquatch, and we have them on the show all the time. So props to those guys, and thanks for the heads up. So guys, let's talk a little bit about the band. We've been talking to Kent, so let's give Kent a break. He's smoking a cig, so let's get over to the other boys. So, SJ, I'll go with you first. So we heard Bucknut. We loved the song. I like I told Kent, for me, when you guys get a chance, take a listen to a band called Granny Four Barrel. It's a singer, a dude who sings in a grandma costume, who's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. You guys sound like them and Blackstone Cherry to me. But tell me a little bit about the history of the band. Give us a little, you know, let's introduce So High to our audience.
I've known all the members now. I've known for years, and I've known Jeremy. We've lived in the same hometown here, Wellston, Ohio. Shout out. And Kent's from a little bit down the road, but he's played a lot of bands. I've known his brother with his brother, and then Laura Miller, who is our newest member. She's gonna come on here possibly pretty soon. She owns a gym and she's giving some training right now, but. It's all finally the planets aligned, I guess. And we just all came together and just started writing some music. And we put out our EP and it's done really well. And then we've done three videos. So Bucknut's the third video.
Uh-huh.
It by far, you know, the most. We've got over, I guess, 20,000 views so far. And it's just starting to get out there, you know. Whole COVID thing probably put a damper on a lot of stuff, but that helped us. You know, people being home could watch it on the internet and stuff. But we're starting to play live now again, thank God. And we have we got a show coming up in July in Columbus, Ohio, with a national act that'll be posted next week. And I'll let you know, Tommy.
Yep. Thank you for the heads up, but I'll keep we'll keep another down low.
Absolutely.
And
we're in the Sonic Mountain Studios with Great Joe Beers, producing us and recording us some new So High stuff. And what we do is mainly just write, maybe work on two songs at a time and put videos out and put the songs out. Just throw them out, you know, for the stuff. You know, we don't want to sit around and wait for a year to work on an album. So we just going to throw it out there and keep it fresh, you know.
No, and I love it. And Jeremy, you know, Jeff and I are friends for 40 years. We don't ever really fight. You will bicker over, especially over during the show, but you know, it adds to the chemistry of the show because we go back 40 years. We grew up together. We experience a lot of the same things. If it wasn't for Jeff, I probably wouldn't have a driver's license at this point in my life. I failed my road test 3 times and Jeff stepped in and got pissed off at me and threw me in a car and helped me get my license. But Jeremy, let me ask you, as friends for so long, does it make it better for the chemistry of the band? Does it get in the way of, you know, do you guys are so comfortable with each other? The FUs fly out in practice and in recording sessions?
God. Yeah, dude. Yeah, actually, it does help, man, because it is instantly, if we ever disagree, which is all the freaking time, it'll automatically, like you say, FU. And then it's done. 2 minutes later, it's like it never happened. And usually when it gets so bad, that's when Kent comes in.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
What do you think?
I was just going to say, it seems like Kent, to me, comes off as the kind of the moderator type, the kind of guy.
Man, please, man.
The guy's the bass player, right, Jeff? Jeff's a fantastic bass player. He's the bass player in the Hard Rock and Sports Band, and he's kind of the moderator. Kent, I see you as that, you know, step in guy, come on, guys, relax, let's get this done kind of guy.
Yeah, I got to step in and sometimes be the adult in the room for those two. But it's okay. I like my role.
Hey, SJ, who's the diva in the band? Who's the guy who's come on, SJ. Is he got the lead? SJ, do you have the lead singer disease? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, he's got it. Well, I actually have shirts that say diva on because Jeremy calls me Steve, so... Yeah, that's me, man. You know, that comes with the territory. So,
SJ, when you bring in a Lord, and the does it change the sound? You know, when you bring in a new player, so you know, she's got a very hardcore past from what I read. Looking at her, you know, she's into some serious bands. Trying to get my notes here, but anyway, she's into a much harder edge stuff, it seems, than you guys. Do you have to adapt to her? Or does she kind of fit into what you guys do? Do you make any changes because you bring a new person in that doesn't grow up with you guys?
Well, she's only been with us for maybe 4 months,
So she's just learning the set right now, but she adds so much as far as, you know,
her tone is killer.
Great, you know, she's a great person, great attitude. She's all ready to do it, how excited, you know, and how she's got tons of experience playing. And she's got like more guitars than I do and more hands. And I've known her for a long time, played in a lot of bands, and opened the Forbes Dodge, played shows with her, and it's like, I asked her, and I thought she was going to say no, and she says, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, oh, cool. So great. We're very happy. We drive like an hour and a half to get to her house to practice, but, you know, it's cool.
And her husband, Matt, who was awesome drunk. So we go up there, he lets me play on his drums, and I break his shit, and he had, so nice about it.
Well, you know, before you came on, Jeremy, you know, Kent was telling us that, you know, since Laura's husband's a drummer, you know, there has been some talk of replacing you in the band. Is that worry you that you're showing up and maybe someday they'll say, you know, you don't have to come to practice tonight, take the week off?
I would not be surprised.
I'm sure that's never going to happen. And Kent didn't say that. Hard Rock and Sports here, Tom and Jeff, along with our good friends from the band So High. You got to check them out. Their video for Bugnut is incredible. They're going to tell you where to get some new stuff. Who's going to tell me about the new music that you're recording now? Who wants to be the guy? Is it Kent or SJ? Who's telling me? Kent, you haven't heard from you. Tell me about the new music. What kind of music are we expecting on this new EP?
Well, it's definitely still very much So High, but we've taken not a departure, but just a little bit of a different direction musically. But I think it's still very much represents what we are as a band, and it's going to be really cool. And I think it's just going to enhance our overall catalog. So we're pretty excited about the two new songs. We just got to get Steve to write some lyrics someday.
Well, speaking of which, how does that all work, Steve? I'll put you on the spot, Steve. How does the chemistry and how does the mechanism work for writing? Does somebody come in with a melody, a bass line? Does somebody come in and then you go, I got something? How does it work, the writing for So High?
Yeah, as far as songs, yeah, someone will bring in something cool, either a drum beat, a riff, a bass line, or a melody or something like that. These songs, we have the choruses done for, you always work on the choruses first, because that's the hook. The choruses are fantastic. But see, when it gets to lyrics, I'm like, I have to, like, really just in the moment, I can't just, like, I'm not going to try to write lyrics. They have to actually come to me by the songwriting angels. Like for Bucknut, like that never came. It just like appeared, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it just like was, here's these lyrics. Thank you. Like, I can't try. But they'll come, you know? So, because I want lyrics to be really, you know, really mean and stuff like that. So, but as far as writing songs, you know, we jam great riffs out. Yeah, we fight. You know, and all that stuff. But the lyrics, they're always on me. Hey, where's those lyrics at? I'm like, hey, you know, hey, Michelangelo, where's your painting at? You know, I don't know. I can't explain it.
So you're comparing So High to Michelangelo. Is that which way you're going with this?
I told you he's got it bad, dude.
Well, listen, if you're going to compare yourself to something, I guess that's, Jeff, that's about as good as you're going to get, right?
I would think so.
Hey, I do have more. Tommy, are you close to Hoboken, New Jersey?
Not too far. I'm a half hour, I would say. I pass it every day on my way to work.
Shout out to a friend of mine down in Parkersburg, West Virginia, Laura. She's a Hoboken girl, so she's a little child. So shout out her.
There you go. So, again, guys, we're checking with the boys. We got Jeremy, we got SJ, we got Kent. And Michael's hanging around the corner, but he's a neighbor, and he's the sports guy. We're going to get him on in a second. There he is. What's up, Michael? We'll talk a little sports with the band. We'll talk a little, you know, I have to tell you guys, there's Laura. Hi, Laura. Nice to see you. She's saying hello out there. Laura Lisa is saying hello to everybody, so make sure we say hello to her. And, again, the boys from Soho, check out Bugnut. I love the song. Any of you guys a fan of Blackstone Cherry? Because you guys got a great tone just like them.
Only a couple hours from us, so
yeah,
it's in the water, man.
Yeah, I mean, your tone is so, I mean, again, do me a favor, guys, check out Granny Forbarrow. We got to meet Granny. We were on the tour bus, me and Jeff, but you guys kind of fall in between Freak Flag and something that Blackstone Cherry would do, so it's great stuff. I love it. I told Kent early, I wait for Drew Carey to pop out in the middle of that and just go Ohio, and it, you know, you got to kind of work that in the next time because.
Something to track down. Yeah. And if we do have a bus, the bus of bad decisions, that will make it to New York and New Jersey. So, hey, if we get a show up there, man, you guys are VIP, right?
I promise you one thing: if you guys get a show in this area, we will absolutely make the trek out. You guys want to try to get to a place called Dingbats? You guys would be great. Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey. Starland Ballroom, any one of those kind of places, anything in this area, I promise you. At the very least, I'll come. Jeff's a bit of a hermit, I do get him out once in a while.
I won't even want to travel out of the house for fucking work or go to the store.
Not at all. Listen, around here, there's no such thing. Everybody's urban. We don't call anybody rednecks on the show. You guys are just a lot of fun. I love the band. But let me ask you a couple quick ones. Let's talk about Five Hives Ohio So High Habanero Honey.
Yep.
Who's telling me about that?
I was. I'll get that one.
Go ahead.
So Eric Austin, who owns Five Hives Honey, contacted me on Facebook and was like, hey, can we use Bucknut for our YouTube channel, you know, for some background music? And like, of course, you know, because we're all about small business and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we just started talking, you know, hey, it'd be cool to have a So High brand honey. You know, we like spicy honey and stuff. So he is actually here in probably about a week. He's bringing five beehives to Jackson County, here where we live, and we'll set them up, and we're going to, you know, have some honey by probably late June and have it, you know, bottled with our label and everything. So it's all going to be local honey.
Delicious on chicken.
Yeah. Yo, listen, I'm not the biggest honey guy, but I do like a good hot sauce. So maybe you guys could turn this into a hot sauce at some point, and I'll be all over it. But that sounds cool. Hey, Jeremy, tell me about shooting your video sometime in May at the Rio Grande, Ohio, complete with beige bikers. And I got to ask, you're dragging out a mechanized bull. Tell me. Ken, tell me a little bit about that, Ken.
Okay, so we got this song called Equestrian.
Okay.
It's about, you know, finding the cowgirl and, you know, other stuff. And so we're going to get a bunch of motorcycle riding dudes, as many beautiful girls as we can find, and a mechanical bull, and then just basically get clips, short clips, and party.
Yep.
We're, hey. We're going to throw a concert. We got one of our buddy bands, Drippers Wild, as a cover band. They're so fucking fun, dude. Like, they do a lot of 80s stuff. And it's just going to be one big-ass party with, like, five cameras going.
Yeah, if it wasn't COVID, I would make the trek out. And let me tell you something, guys. If you want to look for a biker guy, Jeff should be in your video. Look at him. He looks like ZZ Top. He looks like somebody who should be coming from Sturgis right now. I mean, Jeff's that guy, man. You guys need to get Jeff in there. He plays bass. He can kind of, you know, be in the background with his Lakeland. Come on, guys. You got to reach out to the New Yorkers.
Man, do it, man. It's cool, man. There's not a lot of COVID around. We're out in the country, so, you know, there's no big crowds and stuff except for our show. So.
We don't pay attention to the COVID on this show, but Ken, let me ask you, why a mechanical bull? How do you drag it out there, and why is the mechanical bull such a part of this video? Come on, tell me. Give us the truth. I want to hear Kent on this one. Come on, Kent. You're the rational guy in this group. I can see it.
Break it down.
I was actually a little shocked by the mechanical bull.
You were shocked?
First presented. But, you know, because I'm thinking equestrians, I'm thinking like chicks jumping over the, you know, the wooden boundaries on horseback and all that. But our equestrians is a different type of riding. So we thought, hey, mechanical bull, that'll be awesome. And plus, girls look great on a gyrating bull.
And I see, you know, not for nothing, Jeff, but I'm looking here at all the people watching the show and pay attention. We got Laura, Lisa, you got Katie, Trisha. You know, there's a lot of ladies paying attention to the Hard Rock and Sports Show tonight. And I'm assuming these, first up, ladies, please Facebook and friend me and Jeff for the show. So that way we get some new people on here. We'd love to have fresh people listening to the show, but it's nice to have the ladies listening, Jeff.
It is, but I'm sure they're here for the band.
It's not for our good looks, that's for sure.
Magnets,
no,
so.
No, we're not. That's the.
I mean, my fucking wife don't even watch the show.
We say often, guys, that Jeff and I have faces made for radio, so that we don't make any bones about it. But again, we got the boys from So High On. They got the music videos coming up. They got new music coming up. They got Honey. And my good man SJ there has got his own line of guitars coming out. Let's get that one on there before we call it a night. SJ, tell us about Oztone Guitar Company, which is your part owner on, and tell us about your signature guitar.
Right. Oztone Guitars. Sean Hicks, my other partner, and Elliot John Connery. We build custom guitars for people that are one-off, pieces of art, basically. And
boutique.
We are actually doing a endorsement guitar for a fellow out in Los Angeles right now called his name Doug Wee, and he's from Italy, and he plays guitar for the Chimps, which are the do the soundtrack for the Sons of Anarchy TV show. So we're going to have that guitar shipped out to him in a couple weeks. So
he's a great guitar.
He's really going to push it on the internet for us. He's endorsed by everybody, ESP, Mesa Boogie. He's a real great guy, great name. And Sean built several guitars for me before. I've known him since I was a kid. So we just decided to launch our own company. And it's going to be really good because the guitars are great. It's something you can't buy.
It's top quality.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to you, SJ, about a Hard Rocket Sports guitar. I mean, if you notice that, I do collect a few guitars. I am not the guitar aficionado that you guys are. But I play a little bit, and I like it. So maybe we have to do one with the Hard Rocket Sports logo for me and Jeff. So I'll have to talk to you about that off the air, see what Jeff, we'll have to see if it's in the budget, in the Hard Rocket Sports budget, which we don't have, by the way. It's a budget.
Yeah.
We'll give you a buddy deal. Remember.
There you go. We always like a good buddy deal, but we'll talk about that off the air. But before we wrap this thing up, I want to talk a little sports, and let's get Michael to poke his head around the corner. Hey, Michael. I got to ask a question, my friend. Why should anybody in this draft Justin Fields when no other Ohio State quarterback has amounted to anything in the NFL? You got to explain that to me.
Man, if I've ever had a team, it's the Buckeyes. Always been the Buckeyes.
Okay.
But I'll be honest, one of the things that's crazy is the quarterback situation, right? Like look at what Joe Burrow did when he went down to LSU, right? But anyways, that being said, I do think Justin Fields is the best one that we've had. And I'm not just saying that because he's the newest or any of that kind of stuff. But when you watch him, his arm is crazy. Like I saw I saw on ESPN the other day, I was watching, he threw like a 65-yard bomb over the shoulder off the wrong foot, like on the money. I don't know. I know all this stuff about Trevor Lawrence and he's, everybody wants him, but
yeah.
I think he's a real deal. Being a Fields fan, I kind of would like to see him have someone mentoring, kind of like the best case scenario for him being like an Aaron Rodgers sitting behind somebody or something like that for a while. I think if we're going to have one that succeeds, it's going to be him.
I see Jeff shaking his head. Jeff, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, the reason I'm shaking my head is because Tommy is dead set against anybody taking any kind of Ohio State quarterback.
I am. I'll tell you
why. Yeah. I wish that every quarterback coming out of the draft came from Ohio State.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Listen, I think Justin Fields had a great career, whatever, a couple of years at Ohio State. I won't argue that. But and you're right. I watched his pro day. He made some great throws in t-shirt shorts. Nobody rushing the passer. The guy's got a great arm. I'm not going to doubt it. But I think the Ohio State quarterbacks are basically products of a system. Dwayne Haskins looked like a pro quarterback. We've seen what that's turned into. And I only thank the Lord himself for the Giants not falling into that trap. He was a Jersey guy looking to play, wanting to play. He begged to play in New York. They didn't draft him. They took the real deal, Daniel Jones.
Oh, please, stop. please stop right fucking there. This guy couldn't throw a fucking party.
Oh, my God.
All right?
This is what
if
I deal with.
If he fell out of a fucking plane over the ocean, he wouldn't hit the water.
Oh,
he sucked.
God.
He sucked. Just another fucking team wasting their time and effort and energy on a quarterback that ain't going to go anywhere. There, I said it.
Let me know when you're done. Anyway,
I'm done.
Now, you brought up Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow. But, again, I think Joe Burrow – go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry I cut you off. Go ahead.
Quarterback and you don't have the number one pick,
mm-hmm.
who's better? I know they're talking about the guy from LSU or BYU.
Yeah, Zach Wilson.
Yep. Say everything about how he's like Roethlisberger, not necessarily in the sense of how he plays, but where he's surprising everybody.
Yep.
Once they go for the tape, they're like, holy crap, you know what I mean? Like, he's got it.
Yep.
But in my opinion with him, is that's kind of a shot in the dark.
I agree.
Because you didn't see it throughout the season. And I'm not saying that it can't. I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I mean, look at Ben and look at Tom Brady and
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. But I'm just saying, like, you know, if you have the picks and you got to decide, I don't know. I don't know if I would want to pick somebody that hasn't been, you know, in the national championship and under the bright lights and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's one thing I think Fields really has for him. I agree with you about the system quarterbacks.
Yep.
Honestly, like our system, like it is, like we have a great system, and
yep.
it does happen.
Absolutely.
I don't think that Fields fits that mold. I think that if you put Fields in another system, you know, I mean, with the Buckeyes, like for me, like one thing I'm proud about with the Buckeyes is our defense, right? Like,
sure.
I feel like our defense a lot of times is so strong.
Absolutely.
But if you put Fields in a high flying offense, or like if he would have played in SEC or something, like I think he's different. But I think everything you're saying is just.
Yeah.
About that have been drafted.
Yeah. Listen, when you got to go back to Kent Graham and Arch Leister to find great, decent NFL quarterbacks that came out of Ohio State. It's scary. Now, I don't believe in Zach Wilson. I'm not big on Trey Lance. You know, I see that Eric is talking about Kyle Trask. I think there's a lot of questions after Trevor Lawrence. I think there's a ton of questions, and I would be leery of drafting any of these guys to be pro-level quarterbacks, and you're right. Lining up in the right place is always a big thing. Sam Darnold wound up in the wrong place, and, you know,
How did you say that?
Because
how did you say that Sam Darnold ended up in the wrong place? Is he going to Carolina and going to resurrect his career and become the next Tom Brady?
I don't know, but he's finally going to have a decent team around him. Maybe he does. I don't know.
What was the record of Panthers? 6-10.
Well, look who played quarterback for them last year. Look who's playing. I'm just saying.
Listen, dude, please.
Here we go.
Does anybody have
I hope
another shovel for
God?
Please,
God, Jesus, I pray to I pray to you, Jesus. Sam Darnold, 4,000 yards, 10 wins. I'm praying. I'm only praying.
2 years ago, you wanted Teddy Bridgewater for the Giants.
I did not want Teddy Bridgewater for the Giants.
You fucking did.
Oh.
You could go back and
oh
fucking
my
get
God.
It online. You wanted Teddy Bridgewater. You're like, oh, I would love to see the Giants bigger. Yeah, look.
Yeah.
At least I didn't fucking draft a quarterback out of fucking Duke.
That's okay. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. Elite. Watch. But anyway, we got the boys from So High On. We're going to finish up with them and move on. We got lots to talk about. We have Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Goodbye. We're going to talk a little Iron Maiden. We're going to talk some Iron Maiden. We're going to talk a little bit of rock. We got, again, we're going to get back to the Sam Darnold trade. We got a lot to get to still tonight. We're going until 9:30. Come back next Thursday night. We got our NFL Draft Preview Show. Matt Salicci, Frank Jeffrey, Jeff and myself breaking down the draft. The 29th, we got the draft all night long. Jeff and I, 3 hours of football, NFL draft. We do it every year. I'll have a lot of fun. But let's finish up with the boys from So High. All right, so SJ, I'll let you kind of wrap this up. When we see new music, when's the video going to pop out? Give us tell us when we can expect some new stuff from you guys.
We will have the video. We're May 15th. We're filming it. So after the editing, you know, probably middle of June, we'll probably have that video out. And the new music will probably be out by then also. And we'll have... definitely have more shows lined up. So, and like I told you, I'll share next week with who we're playing with.
I appreciate that.
It's a great national band.
Oh.
And also, I got to give a shout out. There's a video. Our first video is called Stock Monkey. and you can figure out what it's about. We have a video. You have to post that video. I want to give a shout out to Katie Barnett, who's watching, and Leslie Spires. They're the Sock Monkey Girls. They're dressed up like monkeys in it. And it's a really crazy video, so please, I'll send you the link, but it's on YouTube, whatever. And I forgot one name on the All Stone thing, and Keith McGrath, who owns some guy from Ohio, does our finishing work. So I'll be posting all the guitars when they come out, and my signature also. I can talk about mine, but it's myself and Sean designed it, but I'll get it to you. Otherwise, you know, we're just writing music, having fun. We're glad Laura's aboard, and we're going to be playing some big shows here soon for thousands of people, hopefully. And I don't know, man.
No.
What else there is? You guys got anything to ask? And the honey's coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hey,
First off, any of the ladies want to send Jeff and I some pictures of the Sock Monkey contest? Of course, we like the Sock Monkey contest. The Sock Monkey costumes. We're always thrilled to see just the videos for all these things, and we always like to see the ladies get involved in rock and roll. It makes it even better. Otherwise, it's a sausage party, and who needs that, Jeff?
No. Better hope my wife ain't listening, or else the sausage party is where it's going to be for me for a while.
But no, and thank you. We look forward to it. And listen, you guys are a fun band. It's a lot of it's a lot of fun to be to do this with you guys.
Thanks for having
me. No, listen, we'll get you back on again whenever you guys want to pop on, and all of you guys want to pop up and promote something. You're welcome here on the show. It's a lot of fun. We will play your videos along the way. I will tell you this: I can't wait to announce the band, because I saw those guys live here in Jersey. And they blew the roof off the place, and they are probably the loudest band I've ever seen live.
They are so loud, dude.
Oh.
My name for the band is so loud.
So, again, guys, make sure, is there websites? Is there social media? Give everybody some places they can check you guys out.
Yep.
You're going to find us on Facebook at facebook.com, So High Rock. Or So High Band, I'm sorry. You find us on Instagram.
Kent might not be the right guy to promote.
2020. And if anybody's interested in merchandise or anything like that, we're also on Bandcamp. So you can find us there, too. And we'll ship merchandise anywhere in the U.S. So if anybody's interested.
Well, we're interested. We hope everybody does. Again, anybody out there listening, make sure you follow So High. Very fun band, great tone, great melody, love the stuff. And, of course, make sure if anybody out there from the So High family, check us out on Hard Rock and Sports and check us out on Facebook. Come on and subscribe to our show, our YouTube page. You can see this show on our YouTube page. You can also find it on Spotify. All our shows download to Spotify when you're done. So go to Spotify, check out the podcast section, look up Hard Rock and Sports, and you can find this show and all almost 400 shows we've done out there. But, guys, listen, Jeremy, SJ, Kent, Mike, thanks for coming on, guys. We'd love to have you guys back anytime. But in the meantime, listen, have fun with the videos. And as soon as you guys can get up here, let us know.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later, man.
That's the man. So High. Guys, check him out and make sure you support. Take care, guys. That's the end of those guys. Yeah, nice guys, Jeff.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah, good times. It's always fun to meet up with these new these newer bands. Or I don't know if they're younger. They seem to be our age, but kind of independent, doing their thing and trying to make a name for themselves. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I gotta check out their videos.
Yeah, you gotta watch Bucknut. It's funny. It's a great video, and Buster Douglas opens it up. So, and in fact, guys. Yeah, and in fact, guys, we've been trying to get Buster on the show. So if anybody's got a connection to Buster, we'd love to get him on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. So if anybody's got a connection to Buster Douglas, please pass on that we love to get him on the show. But again,
I'd love to ask Buster Douglas one question.
What would be the question you would ask? Go ahead, Jeff.
It's one thing to land a punch on Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
It's one thing to knock Mike Tyson down, even though he was the first one to do it in his professional career.
Right.
But what was going through your mind as Mike Tyson was trying to get up with the mouthpiece?
Great question.
Out of his mouth? Did you think that this is it? If he, God forbid, he gets up, all they did was pissed this motherfucker off. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, he's getting up with a purpose and a vengeance.
Yes.
And it's all over. You know what I mean? Like, that had to, for the first couple seconds, actually go through your mind that, like,
absolutely,
what's going to happen now if, well, this guy gets up? You,
well,
know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the first reaction is, I mean, obviously Tyson had not been knocked out at that point in his life. So
no,
the first, right. So the first question I sent him is, the first thing I'm thinking is, holy shit, Mike Tyson's on the ground. That's the first thing. Now, you're,
yeah,
right.
I would have that.
Right.
I am now the baddest man on the planet. You know?
Absolutely. And then the second thing is absolutely what you said. Holy shit, this guy gets up. Holy cow. I might, that's it. I might be done here. But, yeah, I'd love to get to Buster on the show. I knew it. I grew up. I was a huge Mike Tyson fan for the first few years of his career. A huge fan.
Everybody was, Tom. Everybody was, yeah, because he was being handled the right way.
Yes, agreed.
At the time.
Yep.
And it wasn't until his manager and the coach, his trainer left him, the manager died or whatever the case,
yep,
was, and then he slipped into the wrong hands, and then that was it. It was over.
I agree. But listen, it was, you know, again, great time and a great fight from the sense of, you know, it was the biggest, one of the biggest underdogs I've ever seen in boxing, or maybe anywhere, going in there winning a fight. Then listen, he, you know, it kind of just maybe blew up, and he got beat. That, I believe, his next fight against Vander Holyfield, and that was it. He gave the title back. But
yeah, he didn't last very long.
No, but
Buster Douglas didn't last very long.
No,
nobody lasted very long after that.
But you know what, Jeff? Here's the thing. You know, he will live forever because he knocked probably that generation's greatest fighter, knocked him off the perch, and did something that nobody at that point thought could ever happen. And it was one of the best stories of all time.
Tyson was in the decline,
yep,
at that point in time, without a doubt. Okay. Buster Douglas will forever be known as the guy that knocked Tyson out for the first time. But
yep,
is he going to be known for anything else after that?
No.
I can't even remember who he fought after that. I think he had one fight after that, and that was it.
But, you know, isn't that enough, though? Isn't there certain people who have certain careers built on one moment in time? And think how huge that moment was. The guy was a 42-1 underdog and knocked out what people considered was the greatest fighter of his generation. Now, maybe Tyson fell off the thing at that point. Is he the greatest fighter of his generation? Is it Riddick Bowe? Is it Evander Holyfield? Holyfield beat him twice. You know, it's debatable. But at that moment, Mike Tyson was the baddest man on the planet, and Buster Douglas at 42-1 knocked him out. And that didn't just beat him, knocked him out.
I would say, if you ask me,
yep,
I would say that it was almost like Mike Tyson was kind of an in-betweener. And to me,
uh-huh,
and I'll explain why. He was there when Larry Holmes was there.
Yep.
He was there with Michael Spinks.
Okay.
He was there with a couple of the older
The 70s fighters.
Yes. The late 70s, early 80s fighters. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Tyson came in. And then his career spanned over.
To the 90s guys.
So he kind of was like in the middle,
mm-hmm,
of that.
Agreed.
So he fought some of these older guys. He fought some of these newer guys.
Yep.
So to me, I would think that it's easy to say that Mike Tyson was the greatest fighter of his generation, depending on which generation you were talking about.
Okay.
Because even then, you were able to, you could split Tyson by generation. You could split Tyson by who managed him. You could split Tyson by what he was doing at what time. Because he won he kept winning and winning and winning. And we've talked about it before. There was a little article, Mike Tyson wins fourth in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson wins sixth fight and, you know, fight again. Mike Tyson wins 10 fight in a row, is going to fight this guy on this band. You know what I mean? He just kept gaining steam.
Yeah.
And then once he started to win the championships, it was like, the guy was like a fucking steamroller. You weren't going to stop him. But then he got a little older, got a little fucking, you know, a little fucked up,
yeah,
whatever it is, and he was doing crack, whatever. And we got the Mike Tyson that we know and love today. But that's the thing. He was a hated human being at one point in time.
Yes.
Now he's fucking loved and revered, it seems.
Yes.
I don't hear anybody say that. Well, I hate Mike Tyson.
One of the best reclamations of all time. A-Rod's close. A-Rod's turned his whole persona around. But Mike Tyson went from beloved to one of the most hated fighters of all time to now he's one of the most beloved people of his generation. And it's a huge, huge – I've got to be honest with you. The movies that he was in, the Hangover movies, changed the whole persona.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
Showing the guy has a bit of a sense of humor and everything.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. That's a big thing. Humility, sense of humor, self-deprecating humor at that, you know, kind of making fun of yourself, I think is big.
The greatest line I ever heard him say, right, was in The Hangover. they said that they stole a police car, and he was like, "What? What'd you say?" And he said, and they saw it, he was just like, "Nice." Is this the way he said it? I was like, it's great, man. Because I could actually see him.
Yes.
Kind of being like that.
Absolutely.
You know, and then when he knocked that guy out just because he got pissed off or whatever, the guy said something.
Yeah, it's almost like he played himself, like, which he did, but that was just Mike Tyson being Mike Tyson.
Exactly. I can imagine, like, you don't know, don't sit near him on a Friday night because he fucking usually goes off and knocks somebody the fuck out. Stay on this side of the room, away from him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes. You don't think you don't believe that character was too far off from being who he really is.
Not at all.
Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom here having some fun on a Thursday night. We're glad you popped in with us, and make sure you stick around. We got a few more things to talk about. Hey, Jeff, let's talk real quick to Sean Watson. Then I want to go to Major League Baseball, and then maybe back a little bit more to the Sam Darnold thing, because I think I got a few more things to say on Sam Darnold. So, and then we're going to kind of do some music stuff on the way out the door. But Deshaun Watson, at this point, I don't think Deshaun Watson plays football this year. And I think it's extremely questionable whether he plays football ever again.
Listen, unless he's totally exonerated and they prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is exonerated, I don't think he plays football this year because, like you said, I think he's busy defending himself. If he shows that he's innocent somehow, some way, I don't know how that would happen.
Yeah, me either.
If he shows he's innocent and he's totally exonerated, I see no reason why his career won't start up again. But let's go do this real quick. The winners and losers. You ready for this one?
Go ahead.
The winners, the New York Jets and any other team that was thinking about trading for him.
Agreed.
The losers, the fucking Houston Texans, who said, "Oh, no, he's our quarterback." They got to be sitting around at home. All right, now you kick my ass. Now I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Kicking one another in the ass because they didn't trade this guy when they had the chance.
They could have got him probably for two. They could have probably at least got two first-round picks for the guy before all this broke. Easily could have got two first-round
picks. They could have got two first-round picks for him up until maybe 2 weeks ago.
Probably right.
Probably right. You're up to 22 women.
Oof. Yeah, but now people. First off, they actually went ahead and filed criminal charges, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Houston police have officially opened an investigation. NFL's opened an investigation. And, they keep piling on. And they have two women who actually put their faces and their names to this whole thing. It's really blown up on him now. And, again, I can't see NFL. I think the NFL has to do something quick, and I'll tell you why. You can't let this linger because if you're the Texans, you kind of want to know, is he going to play or not this year? So if he's suspended, they have to move on and kind of come up with a way. Otherwise, if you're the Texans, do you now draft a quarterback? Do you trade for a quarterback? What do you do if you're the Texans if you don't know what's going to happen to you? If you're the Texans, here's one. If you're the Texans, do you cut him? That's a rough one, right? How do you cut him?
I don't know because nothing has been proven as of yet.
I got you. But
everything is allegations in here.
22 people, though, Jeff?
I'm not saying that he's innocent.
Right.
I'm just saying right now it's just allegations and hearsay.
Yep.
Nobody's proven anything. Nobody's proven he's innocent. Nobody's proven he's guilty.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I agree with you. You're 100% right.
Yep.
Something has to give, and it has to go one way or another. But 22 people stand up and say something.
I agree.
That's saying something.
Yeah, and here's another one I'll give you. Remember leading up to this, what was Deshaun Watson's biggest beef with the Texans? That he wanted to have a say in who coached the team, who played on the team. This is the exact reason why you do not let your players have this much, any sort of say in personnel or coaches. Could you imagine if they gave Deshaun Watson a chance to bring in his own coach and then he gets suspended? How does that work out for the team? This is exactly why the players play, general managers pick players, and coaches coach.
There's a lot of things that you could say about this whole scenario, Tom.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. What would happen if you would listen to him? What would happen if you know, he brought in certain players, is it bringing this one, then bringing this one? Is it going to become a whole culture in the locker room and on the team that you're going to be like, he brought in a bunch of thugs or whatever? We can't. I'm not going to call him a rapist or anything
yet.
Not because he hasn't been, it hasn't been proven, just because I think that he was stupid.
I don't disagree.
I think it was more stupid than rapist because nobody's actually, one girl did say that he forced himself on her and that, but I mean, you know, I don't know.
You
got to wait till this all comes out.
I agree.
And you hear all the evidence and everything else, but 22 women, it can't be good.
No. So again, we'll see how it's going to play out. But right now, Jeff, you're right. If you're the Houston Texans, you're sitting in a room going, I told you we should have traded him. No, I didn't. You know, I told you. No, I said it.
There's somebody sitting in that room right now. Yeah. I said, told you we should have traded him.
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind, Jeff, that's absolutely positively that should have happened. So we'll see how that plays out. Again, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. We're rounding out the show, 8:45 here in New York, New Jersey area. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Make sure you come on back next week when we do it all over again, 7 to 9:30 here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Channels. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, YouTube. We do it all every week. We're going to get to some music stuff in a bit, but I want to talk about Major League Baseball, Jeff, and them moving the All-Star game from Georgia to Colorado. Now, have you followed this at all? I know you're kind of a outside the box kind of baseball guy, but have you followed this story?
I tried reading it, and let me.
Go ahead.
It has something to do with the way voting is done.
Correct.
The way that voting affected minorities in Georgia.
Well, there's the misconception. So here's what happens.
Okay, that's the way I read it I read it.
So Georgia passed, but because of all the stuff that went on this year. Georgia fine-tuned their voting laws. So they basically said, okay, we're going to have early voting, but we're going to restrict it to 17 days or 19 days. I think it's 19 days. You're allowed to vote up to 19 days before the actual election. November, whatever that November date is, you're allowed 19 days before. You have to prove who you are. You have to have voter ID when you vote in person, and you need to be able to prove who you are. Now, the voter ID, Jeff, it could be your Social Security card, could be your driver's license, could be a utility bill. There's like four or five different things that you could do. Next thing they said was, same thing with, you have to be, you cannot just send out mass amounts of voter cards in the mail. So they basically they fine-tuned it, and they basically said, so now the liberals came out and said, no, you're restricting it. Black people, minorities are going to have a hard time voting, and this is unfair. So I don't agree with it, but if you want to have that argument, go vote for the right people and change the laws.
Well, let me ask you something.
Sure, go ahead.
How do they figure that minorities are going to have a hard time voting if they live someplace, have a license, a Social Security card, any kind of form of ID that they could prove their name? All right. One, I believe that if we go out to eat in the state of New York, okay, they bring us a clipboard.
Yes.
And we have to fill out the clipboard, tell them who you are,
correct,
the way to get in touch with you, so that if you're exposed to COVID, they can get you.
Yep.
All right. And find out who you are. Now, there's other things that they're doing.
Yep.
Where they want to give you a COVID app,
yes,
to document that you had COVID.
Correct.
You can't provide documentation to say, well, I'm here to vote and this is me, my name.
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yep.
The things that when I go to the bank and I get the same teller that I've been dealing with for God knows how many years, and all of a sudden she don't know me and she's like, license or ID, please.
Yeah.
And I turn around, I tell her, I'm like, I'll give it to you. I said, but I want you to acknowledge how much money is in that fucking book and the $40 that I'm taking out so I can go get some lunch and something to eat for later tonight. So please look what's in there.
Yeah.
So if I was robbing Jeff, which I'm not because that's me, you know that,
because
you waited on me before, don't you think I would take out more than
$40? Agreed. But that's the...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, so the hypocrisy...
You should be forced to give ID.
Well, again, so what you're saying is that black people aren't bright enough, or minorities, I should say just black people, aren't bright enough to be able to go to get some sort of ID. There's also things about you're not allowed to give people stuff while they're online. You can't give them water. You can't give them food. And that goes to they don't want people out there. Well, here's why. When people are online, what they don't allow you to do is solicit. You're not allowed to be out there outside of a polling place and trying to get people to vote a certain way. You're supposed, when you're online, so they feel that by giving out water, by giving out food, you know, by doing stuff like that, you could technically be influencing people's vote. So again, it's not just minorities. Nobody's allowed to get it. So
if you were out there,
yeah,
say Trump, okay, let's use the presidential election.
Yeah.
And Trump comes out and you're in Biden's camp and Trump goes out to any state, it doesn't matter,
yeah,
and gives out water. Okay, now Biden gets hold of it and thinks like, holy shit, Donald Trump is in Staten Island giving out water. Send them over there, bring them with Coke and Diet Coke.
You can do it in general. And you can go to Von Breezen Park and do it. But if you're voting at a place, you cannot be outside that place doing it.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I totally understand that. But that's my point.
Right.
So let's just say that he goes, one of them, Trump goes and gives out water to everybody. It's a warm day, he gives out water.
Right.
Now
right.
Biden's place hears it and says, all right, go out there with Coke and buy a Coke. All right, that I could see not being allowed.
Right.
But if you're going to be feeble-minded enough to say, well, you know what, Trump gave me water, but Biden was giving me soda, I'm going to vote for Biden because he gave me soda.
It's yeah.
Soda, you know what I mean? Like,
I get it, Jeff, and I understand if you want to if you're the legislature and you want to say, you know, just to be safe, let's not be able to give out anything. I understand to a certain degree, but none of this stuff is targeted. But the left and the Dems live on trying to divide, trying to say, hey, don't vote for these people now. So all of this came up and it backfired because now what happened was people like Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines put pressure on Major League Baseball and says, we're going to pull our sponsorship if you play this game here. So Major League Baseball genuflected and took the game out of that. Now, let me tell you a little quick story. The Atlanta area is, or I don't know if it's Georgia or the Atlanta area, 2% black. Okay, they cost the area $100 million in business, 8,000 hotel rooms, people spending money, and they moved the game to Colorado, which the area is 9% minority or black. And
it was like 79% white or something.
Yeah, and they have probably tougher voting laws than you do in Georgia. Now, here's another one. So now you're boycotting because you're asking people to show ID. You say it's too difficult. Why it's difficult, I don't know, but you're saying it's too difficult. Yet, if you were going to the All-Star game, Jeff, and I left you tickets at the will call, Major League Baseball requires you to show me ID. Yet, you want to fly to the game on Delta Airlines, Jeff? Do you think Delta Airlines is letting you on the plane without ID? No, they're not. So here's what happened in a nutshell. We're not going to sit too long on this. Baseball had no choice once this came out because here's why. The players who, for the most part, have probably never read anything about this, heard some people say that it's racism and they're suppressing the vote. So the Players Association went to Major League Baseball and says, a lot of our guys aren't going to play in the game. Baseball, being part of the woke culture anyway, got a little bit of pressure from some sponsors and said, hey, if we have this game no matter what happens and the players don't show up, we're going to be embarrassed. So we have to move it out of Georgia, which, by the way, was honoring Hank Aaron and Atlanta Brave at this one. We're going to move it out of there to a place that's has less minorities and has a little bit tougher voting laws than the ones you're complaining about. Yet nobody's got a problem. But Major League Baseball had no choice. Now, it's still a bullshit thing, and they genuflected when they should have pushed back a little bit. But they were afraid that the players were not going to show up and boycott it, and they would have had egg on their face. And I think that would have been worse. But this is where we're at, Jeff. They're out there telling people, and even Stacey Abrams, who's this big Democrat who lost the election for governor in Georgia, And Biden, who went out there at first, was screaming about it being suppression and racism. And then when everything blew up, kind of said, well, I wish they would have taken the game away. You know, they tried to backtrack and it fell apart. So now the game has moved. And a lot of people, I don't watch the All-Star game anyway, but a lot of people now are down on baseball for this move, Jeff.
Well, it's a stupid move, Tom. It's a stupid move.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it's, listen, it's just to think that somebody actually sat there and thought of this and said that it's a good idea that we move this. It's unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just,
now,
everything has gotten out of hand.
Now, right. Now, here's the other part, Jeff, real fast, and I don't want to belabor this, but
the reality, man.
It's gone out the window, Jeff, and here's the problem. So now, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball who made this decision, he's got a membership to Augusta, which is the place where they hold the Masters golf tournament in Georgia. So people saying, hey, if Georgia's rules are so bad, will you give up your membership? Now, that's exclusive. That this is a premier golf place. Are you going to give up your Masters thing? What happens next? Are you going to stop playing Atlanta Falcon games, Atlanta Brave games? Are you not going to play Atlanta Hawk games there anymore? You know, what is this just a one thing? What happens now?
Where does it stop?
Right. Now, Roger Goodell came out with a statement and basically said nothing. All he basically says, we will support the cause, and but he was noncommittal about anything. But, you know, what if the NFL had the Super Bowl there this year or the draft was there? You know, NFL got very lucky that there's nothing big in Atlanta this year. But where does it end, Jeff? Like, what, you know, when people start screaming and you go running for the hills, what happens?
Tom, I have no idea. You know, maybe what we should do is just pick states that don't have any football teams at all and start having these games.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just football, but every sport. You know, Alaska, Idaho, Iowa, Arkansas, Alabama, you know, South and North Carolina. You know, some of these places don't have professional teams.
Yeah.
All right, so take away the city, and it's now we got the Giants, the Jets, the Cowboys, the Yankees, the Angels, the Rangers, the Capitals, you know.
Yeah.
No more cities, just names, and playing these neutral sites. Matter of fact, let's not have anybody even show up at the games.
Yeah.
We can do what the WWE does and have these virtual fans and, you know, fuck it. What's the point?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, and here's the thing. You know, I'm a sports fan, and of course we do the show, so it makes it even harder for me. So, I listened to a couple of people on the radio this week, and they were like, well, you know, you have to ignore it because if you love the game, you got to ignore that. And I say, well, you know, at some point, you got to push back. So I said to myself, how should people push back? And I said, you know what, here's how you hurt Major League Baseball or the NFL or any sport that turns political. And it's not by not watching the sport. And again, there's certain parts that I won't watch anymore. But the way you hurt them is by not honoring their sponsor. So like right now, I would not buy a Coca-Cola product if you paid me. Because Coke had that thing a few months ago where they were sending out stuff to their employees saying that if you're white, basically, you have to go through some sort of special training, sensitivity training, white fragility training. And that kind of blew up on them. I wouldn't buy a Coke product right now if you told me that they hit a gold bar in there. Okay? Delta Airlines, I'm going to go to Florida with my wife in a month. I don't care if they were giving flights away for free. I wouldn't. That's how you can hurt Major League Baseball or the NFL. You know what? Why? Right now, my biggest thing is I will not buy an ounce of products from any sport because of what they've done in the past. I won't buy a new jersey. You know, I won't buy a new hat. I won't buy anything sports related. That's kind of my thing. And I will not follow any of their sponsors. So to me, that's my way of boycotting it at this point.
Well, listen, it's a shame that it's come down to the
absolutely
point. And you have to do what they say.
Yeah.
You know, and even be swayed by that to that point where, you know, you yourself will say, I'm not buying a hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a down, outright shame. And it's like every time that somebody steps up, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The people saying this are not the ones that they're saying are targeted. I don't remember the last time, okay, there was Black Lives Matter and everything else, but, you know, like, where were the black people protesting Aunt Jemima pancakes?
Yeah.
And syrup and everything. I didn't see black people.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was deemed and it was offensive. It's now out of, you know, we can't have this anymore. And all the other fucking things that they bring to the table, and they all of a sudden, like, this is deemed offensive. That's deemed offensive.
Yeah.
We can't watch this no more. We can't do this no more. It's just simply unbelievable. Who in their – and now they call it the –